If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Ohio goes I must. Welcome to the High Potion Podcast. It's me, it's Steve.
And it's me, it's him, it's all. Steve, we're going to be talking about something today that I have become obsessed with over the last couple of weeks. It's one of these things that Steve has tried to get me into, I don't know, for maybe like 4 or 5 years. I tried once, I bounced off of it. And then, I don't know why, Steve, but I would say for the last month and a half, my algorithm has been pushing this on me hard, right? Real hard. So today, what we're going to be talking about is technically a manga series, right? As a couple of anime boys, you know. Manga is pretty adjacent to that. Now, this manga we're going to be talking about has been adapted into, from what I understand, a couple of different anime. It's had a couple of video game adaptions, and it has a long-ass list of video games that it has inspired, including Steve's favorite games and my favorite game of all time. So, what are we talking about today, Steve?
We're talking about the Kentaro Miura masterpiece, Berserk.
That's right. Now, I want to go ahead and just get this out of the way, Steve. And I don't know, maybe you're going to think I'm a fucking puss. If you listen to this episode and you think, hey, that sounds kind of cool, I might want to check it out. I fully endorse it. Be careful, though.
Yeah.
Maybe do a little research, because Berserk is not only the most dark manga I've ever read, it's maybe one of the most dark things I've ever read, regardless of genre, right? So, I've been reading the deluxe hardcovers, right? I've finished the first three. And each one of them comes with a parental advisory sticker. And honestly, I think they can make the sticker a little bigger, Steve. It's fucked up.
Yeah,
it's fucked
really
up. You know, I think if you, you know, if you're someone who is, and I know this term is used as kind of like a way to be shitty online, but I don't mean it that way. But if you're someone who is triggered by certain types of, violence and assault, maybe do a little research into Berserk before you dive in, if it sounds like something that would interest you. I just wanted to get that out of the way first, Steve. That seemed a little
No problem. However, if games like Dark Souls, Bloodborne, Elden Ring, if those are your
Final Fantasy VII,
yeah, we'll get into that too. If those kind of games and imagery are your jam, you're really gonna love Berserk.
Yeah. So I think, you know, obviously we got an email, we got voicemail we're going to do, and then we're just going to dive in. We're going to talk about the first three volumes of the manga, because that's what I've been through. Now, I don't know that we're going to get into super heavy spoilers for those.
Nah.
Ones. You know,
I don't think we're going to get very granular with it at all.
Nah, I don't think so either. You know, maybe one day if we ever get our ass off and put together the High Potion Patreon that we've you know, tossed around doing a bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe there's a time and place to get into it a little more in detail. There,
absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
I definitely, you know, being that this is a video game podcast, one of the things I want to hit the most is the inspiration that Berserk has had on, you know, not just the games we talked about, mm-hmm. lots of others too, right? But yeah, I think it should be a good time. I'll let you know, buddy. You know what I was doing right before we fucking started recording? And as I was in Books A Million hoping they had the next one I needed.
Oh, nice.
Because I'm about halfway through the fourth one now. And, you know, I'm tearing through those. They're quick reads for as big as they are, those deluxe editions.
Once you get into the story rhythm, you know, you're wanting to see what fucked up shit happens next.
I was meaning to ask you, how many of those bad bitches have you been through yet so far, Steve?
I can almost see my shelf from here. I think 9. It's either 8 or 9.
Okay, and at present there's 14, right?
Right.
Okay.
I've kind of fallen off of collecting them since I moved because my budget for buying those kind of things has shrunk. Mm-hmm. However, you getting back into them has sparked my interest again. So I think I might start picking them up.
Let's
again.
Let's do
here
the journey there. Together, buddy. Yeah. Let's finish this out because it seems like it's going to be ending before too long.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Kentaro Miura is passed on. You know, I think he died last year.
2001, which is crazy.
2001?
Yeah, I was looking that up too. It seemed like it
weird.
Was so...
I thought it was so recent.
Yeah. I know that's fucking time for you, right? Yeah, I looked into that today. Yeah, he passed away May 6th of 2001. So coming
what
up
was
on
I
three
accepting?
Years.
Wow, that's wild. Okay.
And his like best friend is finishing up the manga, which I think is neat. Steve, if something happens to me, you got to finish the manga run of Blue Harvest with
will do.
All right. So before we jump into all that and get real fucking weird with it, let's hit an email. We got email from that bully ass Wesley. He's probably emailing us to tell us how our opinions are wrong and, you know, shove us into a digital locker. Dear Halls and Steve, I got a special question for each of you. Uh-oh. Halls, a lot of people say Final Fantasy 16 is inspired by Game of Thrones. If you could choose, what other popular franchise would you like to inspire Final Fantasy 17? Steve, a similar question for you. What setting would you like to see for FromSoft's next IP? I think of Bloodborne, which was very Lovecraftian. Is there any other well-known mythology you'd like to see them use? Could FromSoft do a sci-fi Souls board game? What would you like
Ooh,
to
yay.
See?
I'd love to see that.
Oh, buddy, that's at the top of my personal video game wish list. Not even related to From necessarily, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, video games overall, I want to see them do a sci-fi.
I do too. I think we're going to get it eventually. Now that the studio has become so big, they're going to start expanding their reach out a little bit, I believe. So I think we're going to start seeing them maybe take a little more risks outside the genre that they're known for.
Yeah. And I saw, you know, I'm pretty sure you're referencing the same interview with Miyazaki that I'm mm-hmm. about to reference, where he said, you know, he's not going to necessarily be the straight-up game director for every
correct
game
yeah.
that would fall under the Souls-like genre going forward, right? Because it does seem like they're trying to maybe increase their output a little bit. And to be fair, some of those other teams have, I mean, they did Sekiro, right? They produced straight slappers.
It's a weird thing, too. Like, you know, I've read some of the stuff behind the scenes on their development. And like with Bloodborne, he only came up with basically one boss in that entire game. And the team was just like, they were almost going to cut it, but they were like, we kind of need to just keep it in there because out of respect for Miyazaki. And then in Sekiro, he literally only designed one, I think, character. And it was that weird dude in a pot.
Okay. Man so loves
not,
a boy in a pot.
He's not like really hands-on with a lot of this stuff.
I think it seems like he has his project that is his main focus. Obviously, I think Elden Ring.
Elden Ring, right? Sure.
Dark Souls 1, Dark Souls 3, Demon Souls, you know. Mm-hmm. But and it seems like, you know, they can't just rely on him to produce bangers. The team got to put, you know, some of those other members got to put the team on their back and get out of Dark Souls 2 and a Bloodborne and a Sekiro and shit occasionally.
Yeah, you know? Step up to the plate. Give old boy a break.
So, okay, let's take sci-fi Souls game off the table, Steve. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We take that off the table. Give me like two or three quick pitches or ideas of something you would like to see from FromSoft.
Okay, so if sci-fi is off the table, because my idea for a Souls sci-fi, by the way, would be like spaceship horror.
Yeah, like Alien.
Like Dead Space kind of deal.
Yeah, when I think of them doing a sci-fi game, I do think of like, because, you know, they say the original Alien is a haunted house movie in space, right?
Alien what if, would be a big influence.
Yeah, what if instead of just a ship, it was like a big space station like Dead Space, but get real fucking weird and gross with it, you know? Mm-hmm. Not that Dead Space isn't weird and gross, but it's a different type.
No, because they could absolutely, you know, their big motif for these games is that you're entering in areas that have been ravaged and you're basically putting together the pieces of what happened.
Yeah.
That's perfect for like a guy picking up a distress signal, you know, the old trope.
Or waking up, because, you know, they always got to do something where you're a special boy or lady that wakes up at the beginning of one of these From games, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Wakes up in a cryopod or something, right?
And there would need to be some kind of weird backstory for you, too. Like, you're just you're just grown in, like, a lab and just
be a
flung
janitor.
Out into space in these far-flung areas of space just to document what's happened. I don't know. They'd come up with something weird for it. But underwater Souls would be great, too.
I love the idea. But that might be the first Souls game that would, like, bother me to play. You know, I've got that, like, that fear of big shit underwater, right?
Yeah.
Like, underwater sequences in video games as it is freak me out. Putting
I
that
could
from
see them doing
on it,
something like that. Like, some kind of underwater bio Souls or some shit. You know what I mean? Like, And then, you know, as far as other genres go, it's kind of... I don't really know off the top of my head, but because, you know, they've done so much good fantasy stuff.
Yeah.
I'd really like to see them just dip into the Cthulhu mythos again, since they did so damn well with it the first time.
You know what might be kind of cool? Modern day Souls.
Like
present day now.
Present.
I'm not saying it has to be in fucking Alabama or New York City, but like, you know what I mean? Like,
that'd be interesting. I'd be really curious to see how that would happen. That would work.
Yeah.
I could see. What did I just have in mind? Almost like a post-apocalyptic, like Fallout kind of deal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that there's tons of bleak atmospheric things they can do. Basically, just think of depressing landscapes. That might feel empty or dangerous or threatening, and put a game there.
Let me throw a couple things at you here, all right?
Let's hear it.
Because, you know, there are a couple of years back, and we've referenced this several times, was it the president of Bandai Namco that said, oh, you know, we're probably going to look into doing more anime adaptation games, and, you know, we have a lot of studios we work with, and he specifically mentioned From, okay? Mm-hmm. So I would say... We always joke around about From doing a Neon Genesis Evangelion game. Mm-hmm. The more I think about it, like, I think you could get the Armored Core team to probably do something pretty sick, but you're not going to get a big-ass Souls game out of Evangelion, right? You know what I
right.
mean?
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to be doing? Souls Combat and Eva Unit 1, you know what I mean?
Like, Shinji's going to be out of the mech, like, beating ass or
with
whatever.
With a Moonlight Greatsword or something, you know? Jerking off onto bonfires.
That's his Ash of War.
Yeah. Cummy hand. Now, if they wanted to do a Berserk game, I think at this point, if there's another Berserk game made and FromSoft doesn't have their little thingies in it, it's fucked up.
Yeah,
it's fucked up.
It'd be silly.
One thing that Steve and I always talk about is a Final Fantasy and From crossover. I would love, when we always joke about it, specifically on stream, twitch.tv/blueharvestpod, about Miyazaki designing a dungeon for Final Fantasy 14.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, do
Dude,
it.
Dude, I just had a good idea for a From game. Vampires. They could smash a vampire game.
Oh, dude, set it in like the 1800s, like, mm-hmm. like Francis Ford Coppola's Dracula with like, but extra fucked up. You know what I mean? That kind of vibe.
They could absolutely slaughter a vampire game.
Yeah, that's a good one, buddy. Maybe they. You know what they should do? They should do a crossover with Buffy and have the main character be a slayer from back in the 17, 1800s or whatever.
Damn. An older slayer? That'd be sick.
Yeah. Yeah, bro. But there would be no story. Well, there would be story. You just got to read all kinds of item descriptions.
Right. Before we jump to the Final Fantasy 16 ones, which I'm curious as to your take, you mentioning Evangelion again reminded me of something I wanted to mention to you. So Yoko Taro, the creator of Nier and Nier Automata, has been doing kind of some interviews about that Stellar Blade game, which comes out in just a couple of days.
Yep.
Stoked.
It's funny that last episode I was like, guess what I'm gonna do when we get done recording? I'm gonna play Stellar Blade, and you're like, you sure about that?
But in the interview he mentioned about how Evangelion was easily far and away the biggest influence on him, and how Nier Automata is basically him just retelling that story very badly. He's so self-deprecating, but I thought you would appreciate that. Maybe it'll make you want to play Automata.
It does, buddy. Steve, where does my time, you know where my time goes? Final Fantasy 14 and having a girlfriend, you know, that's where my time goes. You know, I was about to say, where does my time go? I need more time, but I know where it goes.
Yeah, it goes to Eorzea.
I know, just based on what I've seen Wesley saying, like, online and in the Blue Harvest Discord, that he hasn't started 16 yet. 16, maybe he has by now. I don't know. What the fuck do I know, Steve? 16 is certainly influenced by Game of Thrones, but also Attack on Titan and Evangelion. So, like, in one fell swoop, right? Square Enix was like, hey, Halls, what are some things you like? Oh, the first four seasons of Game of Thrones. And thanks for... Buddy, you knew exactly where I was going. You stepped in real quick. You said, skirt. Attack on Titan and Evangelion. Perfect, right? And obviously, my first thing that I would normally say in this situation is Star Wars. But they've already done that. Right? Final Fantasy 12 is Star Wars Final Fantasy. Instead of a Chewbacca, you have a hot rabbit lady, right? but she's Chewy to the dude that drives the airships, Han Solo, right?
That's perfect.
Vaughn is fucking Luke Skywalker. Like, it's funny how well it lines up, right?
Mm-hmm.
I remember talking to my buddy Jason back when 12 originally released back in 2006, I was like, does this feel like Star Wars to you? And he was like, no, not really. And I was like, are you sure about that? And then years later, everybody's talking about how that game is basically Final Fantasy Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
So, Steve, I want you to jump in on this too. Like, what are some popular franchises you'd like to see inspire Final Fantasy?
Popular franchises. Okay.
Well, franchises that you're into that aren't.
Right. Enough. Yeah.
You know what I think would be sick? Tool. Tool.
I was thinking it'd be cool to see them kind of do a riff on the Persona thing, kind of.
That would be cool.
Like a little more, not dating sim, you know what I mean? But like where there's like a lot of relationship stuff.
Well, and they've already started doing that.
Starting
Rebirth,
it's, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Rebirth has started to show some influences in a good way, you know.
Ooh, Lost?
That's good. Yeah. Your creepy party, island mystery.
Yeah, your party wakes up on a creepy island. There was an airship crash and you got a white mage, Jack Shepard, a thief, Kate, a rogue, Sawyer, a warrior, John Locke. Huh? Steve?
I don't know. Hey, man, you might be onto something here.
Hey, Yoshi P, get at me, brother. We'll hang out. We'll watch. You come over to my house, Yoshi P. We'll watch all of Lost on Blu-ray. I got the nice set, and then I'll just walk you through, you know, the story beat so you can get to work on 17 before I'm 60, huh? Huh?
Dune would be kind of cool.
Dune would be kind of sick.
See Cloud riding a worm.
Or whoever, right?
Yeah, whomever it would be.
Yeah. Every time we go into that one dungeon that has the big worm as one of the bosses, I can't help but be like, Muad'Dib! Lisa Nagaib! Every time. I might actually watch that movie tonight. It's out on digital.
The sequel?
Yeah.
The second one? Cool. Yeah, it's a great movie.
Dune would be cool. You know, like, I'm trying to go through, like, my big, super on-the-spectrum interests, right? And a lot of them have already been hit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you can't just say like cyberpunk necessarily, because there's always been kind of like that cyberpunk ethic to their games.
Yeah, especially post like 6 and on. Like, you know, Final Fantasy 7 is a cyberpunk game, specifically in Midgar, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's always kind of an element, somewhat. You know, I'm really glad that they went back to the more sword and board type of fantasy for
16.
For 16. But for 17, I would like for it to go back to more of the mix, the sci-fi fantasy, because that's my favorite, like, lane of Final Fantasy, personally. But as far as influences, I can't... Like, I was going to say, like, Dark Souls. Well, they already tried that.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like they spent about $4 on that game.
Oh, Team Ninja? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
The Strangers. You know, people really like that game.
I know. And
fans of that game love it.
I really want to get into it. I will someday. But something about it just looks kind of low budget.
Team Ninja is not going to blow you away from a production value.
No.
But their games are typically pretty solid as far as the action content.
Yeah,
so.
For sure. I'm going to think about this some more. Maybe I'll come up with something before the end of the episode. I was going to make a joke that it should be inspired by Berserk, but it already has been.
What about Bloodsport? Like Final Fantasy
Jesus
Bloodsport?
Christ, Steve. Okay, USA! Yes, Steve. Yes. Frank Dukes, Monk, right? Jackson, Fighter. Chong Li, Fighter.
I was just thinking more of like the tournament would be fun, you know.
Yeah, or kickboxer. Ooh.
Mm.
Ooh, have the older brother get fucked up in the opening cutscene.
Mm-hmm.
And then the younger brother has to train to fight, you know, the Final Fantasy version of Tong Po.
You could mash all those stories together and just give each character in your party like a different backstory, like one from
a different
Van Damme
backstory.
Yeah.
Fuck yes. Lionheart.
Yep.
Oh my god. Yoshi P, never mind. Come over. We're watching, you know, the first maybe 8 to 10 Van Damme movies. All right. You can smoke as many cigarettes as you want out on my back deck, huh? I'll order some Postmates. You like barbecue, buddy? All right, buddy, let's talk about Berserk. We were going to do a Florian voicemail, but we'll save that for next
time. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So, buddy, I know my personal first interaction with this franchise, and it was years ago before I even realized there was a manga or an anime or that it was so influential or anything. And that was for through a game called Sword of the Berserk Guts Rage on the Sega Dreamcast, which I rented from Blockbuster and beat in like 3 or 4 hours. It was very short, right? Wow. To the point where I was like, wow, I kind of wasted a rental. I don't remember it being a bad game, but, you know, I just remember it being short and having a lot of quick time events in it. I think it's generally considered fairly decent, if not short, and kind of shallow in the gameplay area. But mostly because Mura, like, plotted out this game. Like, he was really involved in this.
That's cool. Yeah, that definitely would set it apart.
Yeah.
You know, for me.
Weird that for such a influential, successful, and long-running, because this manga has been going on since 1989. It's been going a while.
Nine Inch Nails' first record came out in 1989.
Pretty Hate Machine?
Mm-hmm.
I'll be damned. 1989?
Isn't that crazy?
What the fuck? That long ago, huh?
Yeah, it's wild.
And then when was the Downward Spiral? Like 94?
Mm-hmm.
Was that their second record or is there one in between?
They had the EP in between there. He had like a big kind of falling out with his label, which I think had like delayed the process for this.
I see.
Downward Spiral. I'll double check to make sure that's right, but I'm almost positive Pretty Hate Machine was 1989.
Damn. I was 6 years old when fucking Mura drew that. That man drew that, Steve. That's our running joke with the manga so far.
Yeah.
So what was your first interaction with Berserk as just a concept or a franchise?
So let's see. I just checked, by the way, and I was correct. 1989 on
I'll
that record.
Damned.
So as an anime, early anime fan, right? You've heard of Fist of the North Star.
Yes, absolutely.
Which I feel like was kind of an inspiration to Berserk.
When I was reading up for the episode, he straight up said it was.
It was nice. Yeah. Cause I'm just guessing at this point, like that was a big one for me. So like when I did finally get around to seeing Berserk, which would have been much, much later, I just always knew there was something kind of about the tone of it that worked for me. But I guess the first time I tried just watching randomly, maybe the first movie on Crunchyroll, because I was just, you know, I was just getting back into anime looking for stuff to watch. And I remember hearing the name Berserk, and I watched whatever version this was, and I was like, I'm not really feeling this, I'm gonna move on.
It was a movie?
I think so.
Okay,
maybe like the first one of the Golden Egg arc or something.
Golden
like that.
Golden Age arc or whatever. Yeah,
yeah, something like
so,
that.
Yeah, I haven't checked out any of the anime yet. I was actually kind of considering doing that. There's apparently two different series and three movies, right? There's a series that ran from like 96 to 97, then there was one that came out in 2016. And then sort of in between there, they did three movies. But they're not all related, from what I understand. The first anime and those three movies kind of adapt the same part of the story. And then the second anime, done by a different studio altogether, does a different one.
Right. Yeah, and people have been all over the place on the quality of the stuff. And people still kind of gripe to this day that they haven't gotten a good anime adaptation of it. And I think there's another one coming soonish. I don't know when, but hopefully
I'll be stoked
for
that.
Yeah, hopefully they can, with the technology today, they can do it some justice.
Yeah.
I'd love to see it.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy for something that has gone on for so long and has so much material that an anime studio hasn't been like, okay, we're picking this up. I mean, also, I kind of see why they'd be like, do we have to do all of it, though?
Right. And so that's kind of what initially held me back from getting into it, too.
Right.
Is because, so, you know, you had all this manga at this point out. And to me, manga is very intimidating to get into because, you know, you're buying, like, three chapters of a story at a time.
Uh-huh.
And getting getting into one that's been out for a long time can be a little tougher.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I have some experience with manga in the past, right? But it wasn't until this year that I really got into it. Like, I read, it started because I got the complete Evangelion manga collection, which is not a whole lot. It's nowhere near close to some of these other ones, right? Mm-hmm. And read that, and then I started the Final Fantasy manga that's kind of an isekai manga, and it's okay, and I needed a little break. So this is the manga I'm reading now, but I've been kind of tearing through them in general.
A little break. I need a little break. Let me read Berserk.
Yeah, it's totally different.
Yeah, oh yeah, without a doubt.
I'll tell you what, Steve. Old Murasan loved drawing panels of a dude licking a titty, though. My God.
Yeah, man, he sure does. I mean, there's lots of sexy stuff in these for sure. It's sexy if you're like, you know, a demented person.
Well, I would say it took until the third volume where I was finally like, all right, this is not, this is actually pretty nice. Any fucking quote unquote sexy stuff before that, I was like, yeah, I need to take a shower.
Yeah, you might want to skip past it. But yeah. One thing that was nice, though, was when I was really kind of getting into Dark Souls and the link between that and the comic was becoming bigger and bigger in my mind, because, you know, anytime you go read stuff on the internet about Dark Souls, you immediately get thrown into a Berserk conversation as well. But then they started putting out these big books, right? These big,
the deluxe volumes.
Books, the deluxe volumes. And I was like, perfect. That's what I want. I want, like, if I'm going to get into it, I'm going to get into it with these and read a whole bunch of it at once instead of having to buy like
all the little ones.
Yeah. And I mean, dang, it's fun to read, but man, there's still a whole lot of those to buy now too.
14 total, 14 of those bad bitches. And I'm halfway through the fourth. And then I went to Books a Million hoping they had the fifth. They had the sixth and they had the fourth. They didn't have the fifth.
Check Amazon. I hate to plug them, but I found good prices on those books on there from time to time.
I'll say this. The first four I got for a really good deal because our buddy Sal told me about the 2-for-1 thing at Target on books. And I was dicking around. I was like, you know what? I could get 4 volumes of Berserk for like the price of 1.5 of them retail, basically, right?
That's really good.
And when I got home, it was just me being impatient. You know what I mean? When I got home, I ordered the 5th and 6th one off of Amazon. They'll be here tomorrow. They were like half off. Like you,
sick? Yeah, there you go.
Their cover price is $50, and I would have been willing to pay $50 for the 5th one just out of impatience. But you don't have to pay $50.
No,
for one of those by any means.
Yeah, I'll probably, in fact, get an order in for the next book, whether it's 9 or 10, and maybe reread the volume right before that one to kind of catch back up. it's great though. It's super dark fantasy, right? You know, a guy with a huge sword, a loner type.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Give us the bullet points of Berserk. And I don't mean like go through what's gone on, but you know, just set the stage for what Berserk is and what it's about.
Yeah, it's as far as I can tell so far, it's about this dude named Guts who is just like the best warrior in the world. At least that's how it looks in these comic books. And he wields a sword that looks quite suspiciously familiar to the sword that Cloud Strife uses in Final Fantasy.
It's a Buster Sword. It's
called a Buster Sword,
and he's got a few, by the point I'm in now, he's like on maybe his third or fourth different one. He'll break them every now and then.
Yeah, he
but it, yeah.
yeah, and he falls in with, you know, like another group of mercenaries called the Band of the Hawk. And that's kind of where it goes. Like, they're just fighting battles for the king, and the story just kind of gets really fucking weird and fucked up.
So
there's lots of demons. Like, he meets a demon. What's his name?
Nosferatu Zod.
That's it. Yeah, who's a great name.
Damn, did Rob Zombie write this character's name?
Everybody is like mega powerful in these stories too, It's awesome. Like, he's chopping people into tiny little pieces, at least on like every third or fourth page, it feels.
Dude,
like
not only did that man Murasan like to fucking draw a man licking a titty, he also liked to draw a dude cutting multiple dudes in half in one swipe, and he's really good at it. He's really good at drawing that.
Yeah, there's really great scenes in the manga that take up like both pages, you know, when you're looking at them.
Spreads, of just these giant battles scenes and stuff. And like, it's one of those things when I'm reading it, sometimes I have to be like, dude, slow down and actually check out the artwork when it's that kind of stuff, and I'm not like, Jesus Christ, do I need to see fucking Donovan doing that? I'll say this. Obviously, visually, the sword, you know, is, you know, Cloud's Buster Sword. It's a direct influence. And, you know, story-wise, I wouldn't say a lot of it comes from that, you know.
No, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But there are, like, even as far as I'm into Berserk, there are some of them, right? For instance, how does Final Fantasy VII start? Cloud is a mercenary that gets involved with another group of mercenaries, right? He had a like hero figure that he looked up to growing up, you know, like that was this big leader who becomes the villain. Like, Sephiroth and Griffin have more in common than I even realized going in, right? Griffith.
Yeah, we're about to see From's ode to Griffith, in my opinion, I think, with the DLC for Elden Ring. Like, they've been lots of comparisons to the Mikella character to Griffith.
Okay. So let me ask you, Steve, do you think we're going to get to fight Mikella?
If not her, then, or I'm not sure. I think Mikella is a boy. I'm not real sure.
I think, because isn't it Melania and Mikella?
Yeah, that's
one's
right.
One's a lady, one's a guy, right?
They play fast and loose with gender in that game, though.
They sure do, because, like, who is it that starts off as a lady and then becomes a dude, or is it
Queen America?
America, America becomes a guy through the lore in that. I forgot all about that. They do play fast and loose with that.
She or he.
Mikella.
Will be, I hope we do, but it's possible we'll fight their proxy instead. I wonder if that guy they've shown, Mesmer.
Oh, right.
The Impaler might be like...
Listen, if Mikella is inspired by Griffith and I get to fight Mikella, I'm going to savor it because I fucking hate Griffith, Steve.
Yeah, Griffith is a particularly vile character.
And
let me just say, you haven't seen shit yet.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. And I hate him already, bro. I hate that motherfucker.
So just real quick, like you said you're getting close to the end of the fourth one.
Light spoilers, okay? I'll dance around the subject. But part of the story I'm in right now, and I know what's coming, Steve. I know what's coming. Is they just... The Band of the Hawk, you know, became substantially smaller after something happens. And then Guts went away for a while. And now Guts is back with them, and they're in the middle of rescuing somebody from jail. Where I am.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, so you have got some nightmares coming your way.
Oh, I know. Oh, I know. There was, when I went to order the fifth volume on Amazon... I was just scrolling through reading about it, and there's somebody in the reviews that was like, be in a good headspace when you read this one.
Yeah, the fifth volume is going to be kind of an infamous one.
Yeah.
you know, we had a phenomenon, natural phenomenon happen recently in our lives that might have something to do with that too.
Yeah, an eclipse, bro. Now I know what happens because... Like I said, this franchise has been haunting my algorithm for like a month and a half now. And like, I think partially because I was interested in the eclipse, I started seeing a lot of fucking Berserk Reddit posts about the eclipse. And it wasn't too hard to put one and one together and figure out what the fuck's going on, man.
Yeah, it's...
So Another thing I know is that, you know, and I'm not seeking out spoilers, but it's just one of those things. It's been around for so long.
Sure.
I'm not avoiding reading about the franchise, so some of it's my own fault. But I know that Griffith is still around, like in the latest issue, he's still around. Mm-hmm. So I have to imagine this series is going to end with their final face-off. And he better get duty stomped in a way that you've never seen someone get duty stomped on page, you know?
I fear he'll win.
You think Griffith will win?
I don't know. You know, it's a dark story.
I know, but come on. That guy's gotta get it, man.
He probably will.
He has to get it.
I'm hoping they'll go away from the trope of Guts wins, but he grievously injures himself and dies in the process. You know what I mean?
I would like to, and honestly, I have no, like, I'm just shooting for the stars at this point because I don't know, but I would like to see him be maybe able to just chill. You know? This man is fighting for his fucking life all the time. And Guts, not a great dude. That's another thing that's you got to keep in mind is that he's not always a great dude, Guts. Mm-hmm. Now, he's not as big of a piece of shit as Griffith.
No, not even close.
But he is not a good dude. Yeah, man. So a couple of years ago, I was at Steve's loft, and he was like, I want to give you something to read. And he gave me the first volume of Berserk, right? And I didn't read it all. I got into it, and I'm telling you, man, that shit with Donovan, I'm not going into detail about it. I refuse to. I was like, oh, that's what we're fucking with here. Certainly mm-hmm. not in the right headspace to read it at that point. Because it's fucked up. It is real fucked up. The whole backstory of Guts being born of a corpse alone mm-hmm. is fucked up.
Yep. Right?
That's his backstory, is that, you know, his mother and father lived in some village that was raided and everybody was hung, and she gave birth to Guts after she was hung. And he just gets found by this traveling band of mercenaries that take him in. It starts off fucked up.
Yeah. Yep. which means that we don't know who his father is, by the way.
Oh, is that something that... is that something we find out? Do you know who his dad is?
No.
Oh, okay. Wait, hold on. Are you being slick?
No, I'm not. Oh, I really... Okay. I'm just thinking, like, it could be a mystery, you know, something.
What if it was Nosferatu Zod?
Nosferatu Zod, yeah.
Yeah. And, like, it starts off what seems like quote-unquote present day in the story, and you're getting to kind of know Guts. And it's honestly the first couple of volumes, like the first couple of chapters in the first deluxe edition, aren't bad, but they're not great either, right?
It's it starts with him fighting some weird fucking looking monster, like straight out of a Giger painting,
like
or something.
It kind of just sets the stage for who he is as the Black Swordsman. But, like, you know... he's seen some shit at this point. There's like this little elf guy that flies around, Puck, who I remember from that video game I played. And then it goes into a flashback that is still running four volumes in. Like, it kicks into a flashback of him as a kid, you know, up to joining the Band of the Hawk. It still hasn't gone present day where I'm at in the story, right? And that's when it starts ripping and getting really good and really fucked up, too.
Mm-hmm. It takes a fucking while for them to get through that flashback, I think.
Oh, I it seems like it, because, like, I literally went from him being born to he's, like, in his 20s or whatever now, mm-hmm. right? And there's some small time jumps. So one of the things I really wanted to hit, you know, we talked about Final Fantasy. You kind of talked about Berserk's influence on the Souls game, mm-hmm. but I want you to dive into that a little bit more for me.
Okay.
Buddy, for
yeah. So I've got like a list of stuff here that's like uh-huh. kind of just, they tried to pick out most of the absolute things that they just kind of ripped off.
Uh-huh.
And it's like a huge list of stuff, especially in the Dark Souls games. Let's see.
And Elden Ring, right?
Yeah, Elden Ring too. So like the prosthetic arm that
from Sekiro
was 100% taken. Also the standing on somebody's sword, which is the move in Sekiro. They did that in Guts. In Demon Souls, that first boss.
The big
ball of people.
Slime, yeah.
Like that's kind of the ball of corpses is something they take out of that as well. the Onion Knight in Dark Souls that you met.
Yeah, the depressed guy.
Yeah, that style of armor was taken from Berserk as well. The eclipse thing is a huge theme in Dark Souls 3. At the end of the game, there's a massive eclipse that's taking place, and it's basically the end of the world kind of deal there, too.
Yeah, and there's some eclipse shit in some of the endings of Elden Ring, too, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. It says here, white-haired femboy villain.
So who's that? Have I not run into them?
No, this would be... The lore in Dark Souls 1 is very weird. There's also some fast and loose with the gender stuff. And I can't think of the character's name. He's like a secret boss that you have to fight in one of the sections.
Okay.
The blacksmith, I believe, was basically taken. The shirtless blacksmith.
Uh-huh.
Basically lifted right from Berserk as well. There's several enemies that are just flat out taken from Berserk. There's like a snake guy that walks around on 2 feet, but he's got a snake head. There's a like dog design that they took from Berserk. Also, it says here, Jolly Knight from another land. So I don't know if I've gotten that far in Berserk and met a Jolly Knight from another land yet. But
I'll say this, looking at the art, there's already been several moments where I'm like, that's okay. Hey, I get it here. All right, I see what you're doing, Miyazaki. And there was one shot. So there's this part where Guts and Griffith duel to see if Guts can leave the Band of the Hawk, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're under this giant tree for this whole duel. And there's several panels that are drawn from the perspective of the ground looking up at them in the duel. And in all those panels, the tree, the way he did the artwork on the tree is the motherfucking Erd tree.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Like, that's cool. Yeah.
I immediately saw it and I was like, I wonder if that looks kind of like it could have inspired the Erd tree.
That's
sure.
Neat. Yeah. Yeah. There's the great, you remember those graveyards of swords?
Yeah. I was going to bring that up too. Cause back when we were all like, deep in Elden Ring, Steve would occasionally send me Reddit posts and stuff that were like direct comparisons of panels from Berserk with screenshots from Elden Ring. And those graveyards of swords are one that have always stuck in my mind because it's a cool image in the manga and in Elden Ring as well.
Mm-hmm. A younger woman wearing a giant witch hat, kind
Ronnie.
Of like, you know, Ronnie, there's like a character that could be said to be maybe inspired by Blythe and Melania are both kind of ripped from Berserk as well. Not Melania as far as just like the winged helm.
Right.
You know, like I think they came up with everything else for her. But like, you know, same thing with Blythe. Just the fact that he's like a wolf-like warrior.
Yeah.
There's the helmet you start with when you're a prisoner as a starting class. It's kind of that weird.
Yeah. Gimp looking
helmet.
Yeah. I've already seen that in Berserk.
Yep.
I saw that and I said, ha ha, know what that is.
Bloodborne as well. There was a ton of stuff. The actual symbol of,
oh, the fucking blood runes or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, it's the mark on Berserk's neck.
It's
for
it's
sure.
Close.
It's not the same,
but it is very obviously like inspired by it. Yeah. There's a massive spoiler that I don't want to give away. That's like a big Berserk reference. You know, and a lot of just more kind of creature design. There's like a weird thing that's covered in eyes, and that's definitely Berserk inspired as well. Mm-hmm. So much tonal stuff. I mean, it basically informs their
whole deal.
I'm pretty sure Miyazaki's just like, look,
I love this shit.
If you're ever having a problem, he's telling his guys, if you're ever having a problem designing stuff, look, he's probably got a manga everywhere in that office, and they can
just imagine they're in like a production meeting and they're going over, okay, so for Shadow of the Erd, Steve, we've got, you know, the Mesmer fight. It's pretty locked in. We're working on, you know, some of the last details on the cutscene. Now, in this other part, this hidden part, we're having a real hard time nailing down something, Hidetaka Miyazaki. There's a scene where a character's got to lick a titty. And Miyazaki goes, I got you, dog. Hold on. I'll be right back.
Oh, man. We're going to be fighting a big titty in Shadow of the Erd Tree.
It's just, there's going to be a fucking enemy that's just a tongue and a big titty. I mean, once you have that connection made for you visually between Berserk and the Souls games, it's so immediately apparent, you know what I mean? And like a really cool way. Like, you know, sometimes I think people view stuff of that as like, you know, lame or not being original, but it, come on guys, it's not like they don't do a ton of original shit too. I think having influences like that is a positive, right? Mm-hmm. And it obviously it's worked very well for From. You know, there's other anime as well that have been inspired. You know, the people behind Attack on Titan said very inspired by Berserk. Vinland Saga, which I know you dig a lot. Mm-hmm. I've seen people mention Full Metal Alchemist. Full Metal Alchemist, I could see how it was somewhat inspired, but it's like the G-rated version. It's very good. It's my favorite anime, Full Metal Alchemist, but it's nowhere near as dark. And it's pretty dark. Hold on now. Berserk has also inspired a number of video games, including the Dynasty Warriors series, right? The mm-hmm. Final Fantasy series, considerably Final Fantasy VII and XIV. When mm-hmm. do we get to that shit, Steve?
Great question.
When does the Berserk shit kick in?
Yeah.
Dark Souls series, Bloodborne, Sekiro, Elden Ring, and Capcom's Devil May Cry and Dragon's Dogma series. You know, there was a Dragon's Dogma and Berserk crossover where you could get his armor and his weapon in Dragon's Dogma.
That's sick. That's great. Yeah.
And besides all that, there's a ton of other ones, right? These are just some of the bigger ones that stick out, especially ones that we kind of talk about all the time. And then the other thing that's weird to me, buddy, not a lot of video games for this, you know?
Oh, for Berserk, yeah.
Weird, right? Like one of those things where, especially considering how long, once again, the subject matter probably holds it back a little. But I don't know. I don't know that it's darker than The Witcher, but The Witcher's pretty dark. So far there's been like three, right? There was the one on the Dreamcast, there was one on the PlayStation 2 that was never released over here, and then most recently was one on the PlayStation 4 called Berserk and the Band of the Hawk, which is like a Dynasty Warriors game. Came out in 2017 over here. So even that's about 7 years old at this point.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I just wanted to say something. I was really wondering about it, and I just looked it up. He died in 2021. I'm not sure where we got 2001 from at the beginning
of
this.
Did I say 2001?
You sure did, and I thought I was like absolutely insane for thinking it was that long
ago.
Did
I say 2001 in the beginning? I meant to say 2021.
Okay, if you said, maybe you did and I missed it, but this whole time I was sitting here thinking you said 2001.
Oh my God, we're re-recording the whole episode, Steve. We're re-recording the whole episode.
Are you ready? Okay, count me in.
Three, two, one, go.
Ohio goes I'm just fucking around. No.
Oh my God. I
you may have said 2021 and I just misheard.
Because I feel
you.
Like I even pulled up his Wikipedia page and was like, yeah, look, May 6, 2021. Yeah. Or did I? Because I'm an idiot and I had a little twisted tea and a gummy this afternoon, fucking said 2001.
Apparently, like when news broke of him dying, like all the Dark Knights in Final Fantasy 14 like got together with their big swords and did like a parade formation for him, stuff like that. Pretty badass.
That's sick. You know, they all did. Everybody got together and did like spirit bombs when the creator of Dragon Ball passed away. They were big like memorial services on the Final Fantasy 14 servers. What a good community, that Final Fantasy 14 community, man.
I agree.
Man, the minute this Berserk and the Band of the Hawk game goes on sale on PlayStation, I'm going to get it and play it for about 20 minutes.
And that's the one that's kind of inspired by the Dynasty Warriors series, right?
Yeah, but, you know, honestly, if any series would make sense to be adapted by... are adapted into that format, it's the one where a dude literally kills 100 warriors in a single fight. One dude versus 100 dudes and he survives.
Yep.
You know? That's Dynasty Warriors for you.
He's a badass, Guts, that's for sure.
It's just so weird. Like, you know, there has been... I don't know, man. It's just one of those things where something this popular normally gets a lot of... related merchandise, right? And you know me, when I start getting into stuff, I start window shopping. And you know what's fucked up to me, Steve? They make Griffith figures. I don't know that I want a Griffith figure on myself, you know?
No, man.
I'd be like, oh, can I get the Griffith and Donovan 2-pack? You know, I'm just looking for like maybe a Guts and a Costa, you know?
You might get a cop at the door delivering that one.
Yeah, or so last night when we were streaming, we were talking about, so there's two dudes in the Band of the Hawk that are like buddies with Guts and Costco and Griffith, right? And the dude I was trying to think of last night, Steve, is Judo.
Juno. Yeah, I love him.
Yeah, he's sick. And then the other kid, shit, how can I not remember his name? Fuck. I had it. I was like, make a note of this for when you record tomorrow. But yeah, I mean, it looks like there was a spinoff novel, you know, art books, which, you know, now I'm into that. Now, a trading card game was released by Konami in Japan in 2003 and 2004. You mean it's only in Japan? Because you know I would get into a Berserk trading card game.
Oh, yeah.
I ain't building a Griffith deck, though.
They should just put that skin on that Flesh and Blood card game. That
sounds like a good crossover expansion or something.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. It was just so surprising to me because when you look at other anime of this level that are this successful, a lot more sort of tie-in merch. And, you know, I do kind of think maybe the subject matter does play a part in that.
It definitely does, man. I mean, it's really fucked up.
Yeah.
Really, really fucked up. I mean, there's like a dead fetal baby that just stalks him around, you know?
And I don't even know what the fuck that thing is.
Oh, you'll learn.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. You know what that reminded me of? Those fucking enemies from Witcher 3 that were basically dead babies.
Yep.
Now, I doubt that guy that did The Witcher was inspired, and even if he was, he probably wouldn't admit to it. He seems a little prickly.
Yeah, from what I understand, he's kind of an ass.
Yeah, he seems a little prickly, and that's just me trying to be like, yeah, he's an asshole!
Yeah.
So, if we were to get... Now, we're going to take Souls off the table because a Berserk Souls-like game is the type of game they need to make, right? That's the one. But if we
That's number one.
That's number one. That is the one. if they were to make, what other genres? Like, if you could take, besides a Souls game, what kind of game would you like to see them do in this universe?
Immediate thing that comes to mind is something like Fire Emblem, Unicorn Overlord kind of deal.
Oh, Final Fantasy Tactics.
Final Fantasy Tactics, yeah, with the Band of the Hawk.
A tactical RPG.
Tactical RPG, yep.
That is real good, Steve.
And maybe even like a smash-up where you have like every two or three tactical battles or whatever, you have to do a one-on-one with Guts versus a big bad or something like that. You know what I mean?
Nosferatu Zod.
Mm-hmm.
Or Gambino. Fuck you, Gambino.
Gambino.
That would be sick. That's another really good idea for that one.
Yeah, turn-based to me makes a lot of sense with the Band of the Hawk stuff.
Because if you wanted to get them involved. Yeah.
Yeah, and you could do the big battles that way. You know, For Honor.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that could be kind of fun.
Like a berserk online multiplayer game. You're never playing as Guts. You're just playing as another, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like another
Band of the Hawk or something.
Yeah, member of the Band of the Hawk, and you're fighting in big battles. And maybe like, oh, you know what you could do? What
would summon be summon Guts?
Yeah, get so much, like, if it kind of like the hero point system in Star Wars Battlefront.
Mm-hmm.
And you could go about it two ways. Like, if you get a big enough score, you can cash it in and you can control Guts for a period of time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or
that'd be fun.
You summon him in and he's AI and he's just dookie stomping.
Smacking stuff around.
Yeah. Yeah.
I kind of like the idea of your character getting possessed by. So you've got like some kind of demon inside you that can kind of make you be possessed by these other characters in the Berserk series. So you do become Guts for like a few minutes here and there or Griffith or whatever. That could be kind of fun.
Yeah, that could. I ain't ever playing as Griffith.
Well, I just mean like certain points you might have to use his powers to overcome a puzzle or something.
I mean, if you set up a game, be it a RTS or a tactical RPG, like story heavy one, that started at the beginning of, you know, Guts joining the Band of the Hawk and ended with the Eclipse.
Mm.
That's a dark ass ending to a video game.
It sure is. That's like the darkest ending of all time.
Jesus Christ. I don't know that the world wouldn't be ready, Steve.
I don't know, man. You know, some things might just be better left
unadapted into playable form.
Yep. With that said, fuck it. Let's do it. I'm down.
Yeah.
I want to play a Berserk video game, a good one.
I think it would be sick if they did. And I want the graphics to be a banger, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
A turn-based JRPG.
Ooh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Anything that has like the party, you know.
Obviously Guts, you could have Casca. I pay occasionally at the beginning, you might have to have Griffith.
Juno.
Juno. Mm-hmm. There's a lot. There's a huge cast right now.
It's sure.
getting pared down quite a bit.
You could summon Nosferatu Zod in that case, you know, like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that could be pretty sick. All the different abilities you could do and an MMO set in the world.
Ugh,
that's God. A depressing ass MMO, but
I would absolutely play it, but
yeah, me too. Me too. I mean, that's essentially a Souls MMO.
You see an eclipse start to happen, you're like, log out.
I'm out. You come across a character named Donovan, I'm out. You know, now that you mention that and how deep I am into reading those books, I've been wondering about if I was ever going to make a class change from Paladin.
Mm-hmm.
At level 30. Okay. So I would go back to level 30 to be a Dark Knight. Might be worth it.
Yeah. I mean, and remember that you can always switch back to your level 60 paladin at any time.
Because I think eventually once I tap out, like once I get to my highest level on my paladin, I'm probably going to pick up a DPS at some point. I might do Reaper because I've never done that one. And then I'll probably also try to do a healer eventually. I'm never starting a new character in Final Fantasy 14. Kiryu Katsuma is my dude. He's my dude. That's it. Any new times playing, I'll just get him and pick up a new job. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I can't play through a Realm Reborn anymore.
Nope. We're near the end of it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, buddy. Well, thanks for hanging out and talking about emotional damage with me.
Of course, man. More people need to read this stuff. I mean, with that said, we talked about it. It's not for the faint of heart.
No. Just look into it. Don't dive in without knowing that the content is very heavy, right?
Right.
It is very, very heavy.
Dark, twisted, fucked up, violent.
Yeah. Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
And you know one thing it does, like sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't, but something fucked up will happen. And in a normal story, you'd be like, the person that just did that fucked up shit is about to get cut in half by this man. And they don't. They don't. And they're leading up to, and I'm just like, the list of people that this man needs cut in half is long, and I'm ready to start checking some names off.
Just hold on.
Doing my best, fighting for my fucking life. I read it before bed, Steve, and I get all comfy, cozy.
Good Lord.
Having dreams about men and bird masks and shit. all right, buddy. So you know what everybody should do? They should go to myweirdfoot.com for all your high potion needs. That's a good place to go.
Yeah, it's a nice, safe spot, space. No clips is there.
Nope. I'm just going to check just to make sure. You know what I mean? Yeah. What if I go there and the page is black and there's just a red eclipse in the middle?
Then you hear the Sean Hoffman.
Boop, 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 boop. Oof. And he's just descending as the fifth member of the God Hand.
Oh, God.
No.
God Hand.
Anyways, leave us a review and we'll see you guys next week, huh?
Yeah. Have a good one, guys. Bye.
Bye.